Thank you, Mario. As human beings, we tend to do a great deal of thinking. We consider it important to be well informed, so we busy ourselves with gathering information. We read the newspapers, perhaps we listen to the radio. Maybe we get our information from the internet, the television, or from our next door neighbor. Whatever method we receive or we use, we get the information and now it becomes a matter of what do we do with it? We have heard it said that whatever gets our attention will influence us in a particular way. And I think that this is true because we tend to judge what gets our attention. And it is the act of judging that gives it value and becomes our view of life. Now, I said whatever gets our attention, but I think it is more a matter of what it is that we give our attention to, what it is that we decide to focus on. In our act of judging, we immediately discard what does not really appeal to us. There's no need to dwell on something that we have no interest in or desire to really know more about. We should be selective in what it is we invite into our consciousness for consideration. We are the thinker, which means that our thoughts are subservient to us. Let us lift our idea of life above what the world has to offer, and then follow Paul's advice and think on these things. We have been given dominion, but we do not always act like this is so. Sometimes we just take in all of that information, worrying ourselves, trying to decide exactly what to do with it. There are times when we become a wee bit overwhelmed. Our thoughts are scattered all over the place. But you see, we don't want to be deceived, but we simply do not know what to believe. Well, let us establish something once and for all. What comes to us in the world as form is temporary. It comes and it goes. Truth cannot be found in temporary things. When we take dominion, we place our attention on what is true, on what is lasting, on what has virtue and is worthy of praise. Now, the Bible tells us that God gave us dominion, and we are delighted that God has done this marvelous thing. You see, surely God intends for us to use this dominion in a particular way, to gain supply or health or anything else that we think that we need. But we miss an important part of the message. We do not understand that dominion is given to Christ and not to the individual. When we first attempt to claim dominion, we do so as Bill or Mary, as the human personality, looking for ways that we can draw our good to come to us so that we may enjoy it. We are not yet aware that we ourselves are but the instrument through which the principle operates, the one that operates as divine law, the one that reads, as within, so without, as in mind, so in manifestation. Jesus explained it in this way. All things are added unto you according to your belief. Now, Jesus did not say that things are added unto us according to what we want or desire or even what it is that we think is best. He said these things are added unto us according to our belief. Mary and Bill cannot claim the dominion that belongs to Christ. They can, however, claim what it is they believe to be so. That's what Jesus meant when he said, add it unto us according to what we actually believe. So now it becomes a matter of where do we place our belief? Not what it is that we think about something, but what do we believe in our heart? And this becomes today's lesson. Whether our belief is one of love or hate, one of success or failure, good or evil, life or death, it is our belief that conditions us to our future experience. Our belief is actually our state of consciousness. So now we wonder, where do we begin? Did Jesus give us any more instruction? So we read further in the book of Mark. He continues on, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and you will. This is an important piece of information. Not what we dream about in our imagination or reason through thought, but what we ask in a time of prayer, believing it to be so, it will be so. Now, at first we read this passage as Bill or Mary, and we feel that we have finally found the answer. Rather than trying to accomplish as individuals, we are to tell God what it is we want in the form of prayer. We concentrate on that part that tells us we are to ask in prayer. And so we begin to pray. We pray for health, for supply, for success in business. We pray that our enemies be defeated and that our family prosper. And we are so confident that our prayers will be answered. After all, isn't that what Jesus told us right there in the book of Mark? And then we wait. We are certain that our good will come to us. We have talked to God, and now he knows what we want. We settle in, knowing it's just a matter of time. And of course, we expect it all to appear in the way we specified, just about how it should all come about. But nothing changes, and we wonder what happened. Well, once again, we missed an important part of the message. The part that said, believe that you receive it, and you will. Again, we are asked to consider our belief. What do we believe to be so in our heart? What are we affirming or claiming to be true for us? For instance, when we pray for health, what are we actually doing? Is our prayer one of recognition of what already is? Does our prayer claim wholeness to be our standard of being? Or are we merely asking God to take away some condition that the body may be experiencing at the moment? You see, we went to the doctor. We did not like what he had to say. And the body? Well, it continues to remind us of its aches and of its pains. We must consider our belief. What is our reality? Are we the physical body, or are we the spiritual being? Do we believe in wholeness, complete, lacking nothing? Or does our belief include both sickness and health? It will be added unto us according to our belief. Let us not forget what comes to us in the world as form will come as an appearance, and it will be a distraction, tempting us to believe that it is real. Truth will not be found in the concept of duality. Let's talk about supply. As Mary and Bill, we prayed for supply. You see, we had looked at our wallets and our bank accounts, and we found them to be in need. And once again, we were asked to consider our belief. What do we accept to be true for us? When we accept wholeness to be our standard of being, we bear witness to God as the giver of every good thing. And we are not distracted by what the world might be experiencing at the moment. What the world expresses at any given time is simply a reflection of what is happening at that particular time. There is nothing lasting or permanent in the changing scenes of humanhood. The world calls them the uptimes and the downtimes of experience, indicating that each has its time for expression. We really should not give them so much thought, nor should we consider them to be important. We really do want to be that individual, the one who can ask in prayer and believe that it will be received. But we also understand that we must be careful what it is that we ask for. Let us not forget whether it is love or hate, one of success or failure, good or evil, life or death. It will be done unto us according to our belief. If we are serious when we say that we want to believe, we will want to bear witness to what already is. That is our goal. We want to be that individual who gives recognition to wholeness as the true standard of being. Now, the individuals who pray in this way are the ones who have claimed their dominion, the dominion that God gave them. And remember, Christ is the only one who can accept this dominion. Others may continue to call us by our given name, but now we know us as Christ. I would like to talk a little bit more about that comment, what comes to us in the world as form is temporary. It comes and it goes. When we pray for more of the temporary form, we are praying amiss. Prayer has to do with God, and it concerns itself with the permanent aspect of life. We do not ask God for temporary things. Our prayers are offered to God in recognition of the finished kingdom, of what already is. And when this recognition becomes our established consciousness, we will not concern ourselves with the form it takes. It will come as manna, that is as what is necessary for the day. Jesus told us that God is spirit and that he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. This means that our prayer of recognition is recognition of the fruit of the Spirit. This fruit is intangible, but made tangible through the activity of God in individual consciousness. Our belief is that God provides, and that is our sufficiency. Mary and Bill. Now, as human beings, we concern ourselves with what we think we need. According to our way of thinking, these things are necessary to our existence. A good job, food, shelter, clothing, and transportation. We also concern ourselves with our material possessions. And it is true that in a human way, we do have need of these things. But these are the things of temporary form. And if for some reason they should just all disappear, do not be concerned. God is our source, and the need will be met. And again, we are asked to consider our belief. When we concern ourselves with the news of the day, we become aware of a wide range of activity. We notice the ups and the downs of the stock market. We follow all that drama that is associated with the local sports teams. We read about those wildfires out west and of the damage that is caused by hurricane season. Now, have you noticed that in these times of disaster, there always seems to be a reporter present at the scene, ready to interview the individual who has just lost all of his personal possessions? Many times the individual will look out on the land where his house once stood, now filled with rubble, and he will say, "I have lost all of my things. All of my material goods are gone. But I still have my life, and that is what matters. I can start over again." Yes, he can. He still has his life, and it is this life that will bring forth, according to that divine law, the one that reads, "As within, so without. As in mind, so in manifestation." When it comes to the temporary forms of the world, they will manifest once more, because it is the life of individual consciousness that considers and continues to express. As long as we are in this world, life will bring us the necessary thing, because it is the purpose and the function of life to do so. Now, the thought occurred to me that since life is eternal, that the same thing happens when we are through with this particular life experience. When we have completed our purpose for this journey, the life force will leave the body, no longer appearing as form. We have no need of the temporary things necessary to support that form. Spiritual being does not require a good job, food, clothing, shelter, and transportation. Spiritual being does not glory over a coin collection or grandma's china. Spiritual being has no need for those material possessions that consume the person of humanhood. Now, if it were possible that a reporter could interview us at our time of transition, This might be the conversation. I have left the world of form, and I have lost all of my material possessions. All of these things that I thought were necessary to my existence, they are no longer mine. But I still have my life, eternal life, and that is what matters. All of those things I thought were so important belong to the personality, and that is not who I am. Now I know. Let this be our understanding while yet in the flesh. Only believe is the instruction given us by the Master. To identify us as eternal life means that our belief system will bear witness to that life. Actually, we have now gone beyond believing it to be so, to that realm of knowing, which allows it to express all that belongs to that life. We acknowledge God's presence in this way. Our prayer of recognition is that God is in this place and there is none else. Our standard of being reveals health to be a state of well-being and not the physical body. Our supply does not refer to material goods, but to that quality of life we call abundant. We no longer think in terms of that calendar, limited and restricted to what might be considered an acceptable lifespan. Eternal life simply does not function in this way. This information is understood by Christ. But what does it mean to Bill and Mary? What does it mean to that individual still traveling the earth experience, the one who is not yet aware of its true identity? We look to the man Jesus to discover what he had to say. He told us that spiritual knowledge brings freedom to the individual. The Bible states, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, the word transform means to change. The activity of transforming and renewing takes place in consciousness. Bill and Mary are asked to transition to a new idea of them, to go beyond personality, to a place in their awareness that is receptive to spiritual knowledge, knowledge that brings freedom to the individual. Just how did Jesus live this life? What is his message to us? Jesus lived in Christ's consciousness by his own experience in the reality of absolute truth. He said, "What I can do, you can do also." We are the personality. We are Bill and Mary, and he is telling us that we can do this too. We will still appear in the physical garment called by the name given to the personality, but we will now walk the earth like Jesus, experiencing as Christ. We may doubt that we can do so. But Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." The question for us this morning is, do we believe? Each must answer for himself. This morning we have the opportunity to transition to a new idea of us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we pause and give recognition to the presence in us. Its purpose is to live us and move us. Let us allow it to do so. Turn to me. I am here. Release all and follow me. Let go of the thoughts that restrict and limit. God gave us life, and it knows neither time nor space, nor is it confined to the personality of humanhood. The divine idea is Christ. Christ brings freedom to the individual. The divine seed planted in the soul of man awaits recognition so that it may go forth to heal the sick and preach the gospel to the receptive ear. The word is spoken in the heart of man. It restores the years we spend in the wilderness, trying to find our way back to the kingdom. God is in the midst of us. It's not necessary to travel to far-off places to be with him. The command is, be still and know. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundant. Only believe that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.